B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
Now here to perform our national anthem, please welcome America's most patriotic rock band, Madison Rising.
So proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and
let's hear it one more time for Madison.
Climbing in their car.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. Today with Hardy and our friend Joe Murray as I've been quarantined again. Because my wife and children came back from Tennessee, so I am in a two-week quarantine again from my home. So I got that going for me. Hardy?
Yeah, I'm upset with Tracy.
Why is that?
She's producing this morning, and she played that song, and now I'm too bunged up for 4th of July. How am I supposed to make it through the rest of today and tomorrow? And there's a fair to excellent chance I'm not going to hear that song again until Saturday. And now, what am I supposed to do? Just sit around?
Well, that's Lockhart.
Wait for it.
That Lockhart played it, and
okay. Well, I'm pissed at Lockhart.
I don't know if you're going to be able to find a more patriotic band, because that was the world's most patriotic band.
I'm pretty sure Zoe has that on his pool playlist for 4th of July. It's that and Lee Greenwood's Proud to Be an American. And and one actual good song, which is the Ray Charles America the Beautiful that plays in the Sandlot. It's those three.
So Zoe makes playlists?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Does he do these on his phone or is he old school tape?
Yeah, he uses the good cassettes, the chrome Memorex tapes that cost like an extra 50 cents a tape. Like a two pack of them might cost as much as like $4 or $5. So he spends the money on them. But yeah, he makes specific playlists for either the pool or for 4th of July. It's either that or one of his kids helps him. But yes, this is what he's been known to do.
Okay, so what is the pool mixtape? Is that just like having fun in the summertime?
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a pool playlist specifically for family hanging out. There's the pool playlist just for him when he's alone, splashing around. There's different versions of it. Sure.
All right.
But there's a Fourth of July playlist too that includes the Lee Greenwood and I'm sure that song and Ray Charles version of America the Beautiful.
You know, I'm not cynical at all about the Lee Greenwood song and its timing of its release. He wasn't capitalizing on anything, especially when he had the banner in the background with the kids writing on it.
Right, right. It wasn't opportunistic at all. Let's see what year. Oh, wait a second. What? That came out in 1984, according to what I'm looking at here. God bless USA.
Is that what the song was? No, but he did Proud to Be an American.
Are they two different songs?
I understand that they're two different songs.
Well, no, I'm going to look it up right now. And shame on both of us for not knowing. Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA, also known as Proud to Be an American, which was recorded and first appears on 1984's You've Got a Good Love Coming. That was the first album it appeared on.
You got a good love coming?
Well, you know, it's even funnier. It was played at the 84 Republican National Convention where I believe Reagan was running against Mondale. Was there ever a campaign less in need of hype from Lee Greenwood or anyone else? I don't know.
Mondale did pretty well in Minnesota. I mean, he scooped up Minnesota pretty good. So, I mean, I don't dismiss him. All right, line one, Casey. Hello,
Casey. Hey guys, hey.
Hey, what's up?
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
love the show.
Thank you.
Brad, I think you're the best. Hardy, I think
you got
you're
that right, Jack.
Thank you.
I love the Hardy show.
If y'all, hey, it's Hardy. That's sweeping the nation. Lately.
Now, is that live? Hey, it's Hardy live?
Hey, it's Hardy is live. Saturday mornings, it's also known as the Sports Hub Golf Club wrap-up show. It's 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Saturday mornings, yeah.
And you do that voluntarily?
Well, yeah, it was either that or we go back to network programming between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. before Gasper and Murray come on.
Okay.
So, yes, I volunteered to do
Saturday
an extra
morning.
Hour.
Good for you. Mm-hmm. All right, what's going on, Casey?
I just wanted to ask if you guys are going to play one of my favorite games since Hardy's in, Fred is Dead.
Oh,
I don't know. Hardy, are we playing Fred is Dead?
I don't think we're going to do that.
The life expectancy of Fred Toucher has been estimated at 50 years. What will be his ultimate cause of death? It's time to play. Fred is Dead.
And what's funny about this is that it's getting closer and closer to when I'm 50. So time is creeping up. It's 4.5 years. I mean, time is short.
It's not as funny as it was like 3 or 4 years ago when we first played it, is it?
No, now it's just imminent. I mean, now it's just, I mean, I better start living life to the fullest because the time is coming. I'll tell you that.
We can always play a slightly different version of it that's not so fatalistic.
Mortgage, credit cards, JCC dues. What does Fred Toucher owe to who? It's time to play Freddy's Debt.
The only debt I got is to the man upstairs. That's the only debt I got.
Hey,
is the man
you
upstairs.
Know what? I would argue you don't even have that. You're going to leave this world like Mrs. Henry Lafayette DeBose, beholden nothing to nobody. That's how you live your life, sir.
That is a deep pull, Mr. Hardy.
You like that?
Yeah, it's a deep pull.
I'm trying to make one of my kids read To Kill a Mockingbird right now, and they have zero interest in doing anything that I tell them to do. I was like trying to tell them, like, no, I was your age when I first read this book. it became my I was trying to have like a serious conversation with her. And you're a few years away from having a teenage daughter, Fred, excuse me. But it is probably the most humbling experience you will have in your life.
Wait, when old is she?
She's 13, my daughter.
Well, my son's 12, and you might as well have him do cold fusion. I mean, if I sat down and gave him To Kill a Mockingbird, the first thing he would say is the letters are too small. So just be proud that you have a daughter that would be capable.
Letters too small. Toss it aside and just walk away while you're still speaking.
Yes, exactly. Like, he might as well have the nuclear codes because he's only a year younger than your daughter, but I got news for you. He ain't reading that thing anytime soon.
Well, neither is my kid, and couldn't be less interested in what. And look, it's probably revisionist history. I probably wasn't thrilled about it when I was forced to read it at her age, but I still read it. And, you know, I'm like trying to tell her this became my favorite book I've ever read of all time, you know. And it's I'm hardly alone. It's, you know, probably tops the list of a lot of people's favorite books that they were one time forced to read. But me trying to force her to read it is forget it. She doesn't care. She doesn't care what I told her to do. Couldn't care less.
It's funny because I used to read when I was a kid, and I could put 1,000 books in my kids' rooms and they wouldn't pick them up. It was just boredom. I was an only child. I had nothing to do. So, I mean, you put books in the room and you just end up reading them.
They just, you know what? My kids read, but it's all like the, I don't know if graphic novel is the right term. Like my son reads the Dog Man books, and my daughter did read, you know what she did read a bunch of? I think it's Percy Jackson. It's like these, like the Greek mythology stuff, but they kind of like modernize it.
Yeah, my kids have read, I think they one time read Beetle Bailey. So, which was a huge, huge accomplishment. So, you know, they're big fans of listening to books. Which I'm sure they're paying great attention to.
Oh, audiobooks, yeah.
That's the deal. All right, coming up, we have what happened last night. And ladies and gentlemen, hold on to your hats because a lot did happen that you missed out on. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
If the Sports Hub. Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
We're Toucher and Rich, and before we get to what happened last night, there's public service line 2, Ryan. Hello, sir.
Hey, steak and eggs, boys.
Hey.
Freddie, as an influencer, I just need some inspiration.
At Fred Toucher on Instagram. Yep, go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. Because I, too, have the vitiligo on my face.
Now, what are you doing about it? Vitiligo is a discoloration of the skin that I have on my forehead. And almost like just showing that I'm a lover, there is a heart on the left side under my eye. That the vitiligo is made. Go ahead.
I wish I had that because I got these two gross white patches in my beard. So, I mean, I use Just for Men like Keith Hernandez and Clyde the Glide Frazier, although it doesn't work all the time. So, yeah, just two quick questions. You know, how you wake up every day and just doing what you do best, making people laugh, touching people's hearts with the courage of having the vitiligo on your face, because I just sure don't. And second, would you agree that Andy is the most annoying character on The Office? Because I don't think I can stress that enough.
Andy is the most annoying character on The Office until they brought that the two guys in the final two seasons, and the one that the secretary ends up with is, or the receptionist ends up with, is the most annoying character, the most worthless character. They made a young Jim, and Jim was never the star of that show. But there is a deli that is by my house because whoever played Jim is a Newton, grew up, born and bred in Newton. And they have his, what was it, the Good News Network or whatever the hell it was that he sold like a cad?
SGN, some Good News, I think it was called.
Yeah, and they have a whole like mural to SGN up in their window trying to capitalize on that. And then he went ahead and sold it to Viacom. So good for him. It showed the sentiment that everything is for sale, especially when you're already rich.
I didn't mind the Nard Dog. You guys didn't like the Nard Dog?
I did not. He was, I thought he was unnecessary. Especially, I don't know, when Carell left, everything went downhill, so maybe I'm unfortunately punishing him for the years that Carell was not there, because he kind of became the new Carell. So I do find him an annoying character. And I'm not counting the Jim and Pam relationship, but just in terms of characters, yes.
Well, I thought I'd stumbled onto the sweet spot of The Office last night. Because, you know, we were talking about our kids earlier, Fred, and I don't know about your kids. Mine both will watch The Office. It's
same with mine.
Okay, yeah. So it's one of the few shows that we can all watch, right? Everybody enjoys it. And we're watching last night, and I think it's the first episode of the fourth season is The Fun Run. And
yes.
It's so good, and I'm thinking, this might be it. This may be where, you know, this series really touched the sun. Except it's also the right around that time, either that same episode or an episode or two later, is when Jim and Pam made their relationship public, which doesn't bother me as much as it bothers other people. But I know for a lot of people, that's when they say that series started to go downhill, which I think is kind of unfair. It was too early in the series to say it was all downhill from there.
Well, they hadn't done the dinner party yet. So they can't say it was all downhill from there, because the dinner party is one of the most iconic episodes of a show of all time.
It's fantastic. Do you know what season that took place in? I can look it up easily enough.
Well, if Pam and it might have happened in that season.
If that's true, then I mean we've pinpointed it as season 4 is 100% the best season of that show.
Lockhart says that I'm talking about Gabe. No, actually, Gabe was funny. This is you have to watch a lot of The Office to know who I'm talking about.
Episode 13 of season 4 is the dinner party. So season 4, that's it. That's if you're going to watch one season of The Office, that's the one to watch.
Yes.
All right. And then
Dwight became the show after Steve Carell left. He became everything.
How do you feel about Robert California?
Ooh.
The more I watch it, the more I like him.
I think it's one of the best parts of that series, when he comes in and interviews,
yes.
And then he ends up taking over the company because he's not there a whole I never get sick of watching that character on that show because he's not there very much.
Yeah, I liked him because he was laid back, but my favorite episode is when they like beg him not to hire his wife to work there. His wife, Maura Tierney from Hyde Park. But yeah, that was the reason for that episode. We can't hire my wife to work here, and I thought that was a great episode.
Maura Tierney?
Yeah.
Oh.
She's from Hyde. Yeah, she's on the one episode down the street from me.
I don't remember her playing his wife.
His ex-wife, and she's only in one episode, and he doesn't want them to hire her, but he doesn't want them to know that he doesn't want them to hire her, so yes. Hijinks ensues.
I love Maura Tierney.
Why?
I loved her ever since Welcome to Mooseport. What can I say? She captured my heart, and she never let it go.
Well, did you watch The Affair?
I did.
She's still capturing your heart?
In kind of a no-nonsense kind of way.
How about a liar, liar kind of way?
I only saw it once.
Well, you only ran around Liar Liar once? There's a lot of subtleties that you missed the first time around. But yes, I've seen every episode of The Office some twice, some five times. I mean, it's really every, and I won't watch it on Netflix. I only will watch it on Comedy Central.
See, we had a Comedy Central thing or a Netflix thing going last night, but normally I'm with you. I watch very little on demand. I will take what is given to me through cable, like whatever movie they decide to show. I ended up watching The Pelican Brief last night, which I would never, never seek out, but I'm like, nope, it's on. It's some kind of like an old school trigger. I'm like, well, that's what I have to watch then, I guess, is The Pelican Brief.
Yeah.
Well, Denzel.
I mean, I read that book, so don't think I'm not an intellectual. I read The Pelican Brief.
Is that the John Grisham book where a young aspiring lawyer finds him or herself in over his or her head and then has to outwit the so-called authorities in order to get themselves out of hot water? Is that that one John Grisham book?
No, you're thinking of Hemingway. Old Papa Hemingway.
There's only one John Grisham book that I think fits that description. Young lawyer.
No, you're missing The Firm. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Listen, Randy Moss with some controversy as he talked about what New England's going to be like with Cam Newton playing quarterback.
I think we are getting ready to really see how fun that offense can really be. You know, not discrediting anything that Tom accomplished because he accomplished some great things, but I think being able to have a guy like Cam Newton that can run the ball, there is going to be a change in New England, but I think we're going to see them having a lot more fun out there, and Cam Newton is going to give them that opportunity.
Yeah, I would imagine that is true. As fans that you're going to watch that, it's going to be a lot more fun. The fact that he can scramble and move around and extend plays. I know Brady did, but it was like all like footwork and being good. Cam Newton's just a physical freak. And also, he will not exclude receivers, I would imagine, based on one game. Or he will, and he'll not be afraid to chuck it up. So I don't think that's a controversial take at all.
No, and you're right, Fred. You're precisely correct in that Tom Brady could do it too, but Tom Brady did it by taking an extra half step further forward in the pocket to avoid a rush coming on his backside and would extend a play by a half a second or so, whereas Cam Newton is going to do it so it's much more obvious to anyone watching that he's extending the play. It's just going to be... I guess more entertaining. Is it going to be more successful? I don't know. You just talk about him, you know, not afraid to, you know, chuck it up and try and complete a play. And you know, one of the knocks I've heard about Cam Newton is that, you know, he will go for that home run ball, you know, much more often than we've seen from the last 20 years, literally around here. So I think you're going to have to just... If he ends up being the starter here, you're just going to have to settle in for it. Yeah, you're going to have a guy who's going to get out of the pocket, and he's going to move around. He's going to have the ability to pick up yards on his feet, but he's going to turn the ball over more. And yeah, that's something that we're just not accustomed
to. He does throw a great deep ball, though. That's one thing that – I'm not saying Brady didn't do that, but Brady was more accurate, checked down at times. That might be more exciting is throwing the ball downfield. But for me, I just think one thing we saw last year was – they struggled in the red zone. Cam Newton will be a red zone threat to run the football. They might be able to do different things than just, you know, drop back and throw or hand the ball off. He is going to be dynamic around the red zone. I think that's going to help this team and be more exciting.
Well, apparently he's not starting, according to some people. They've still got Stidham fever. We'll see how that goes.
Oh, yeah. There are people who are 100% dead set on having him in here as a wild card, whatever that means. So there's that report. There's the report from the other head coach that says, nope, it's not going to happen. It's either going to be Stidham, or it said it's going to be Hoyer. Hoyer is going to be the guy. If he's good enough to stay here and he's not completely dismissed from this team, do you see Cam Newton standing there? Perfect example is what someone brought up to us on Zone Beetle last week. Week two at Seattle, Cam Newton on the sideline holding a clipboard. Do you envision that happening, Fred?
Don't you think they gave him some sort of insurance that if he was healthy, he'd start?
No, the contract details actually came out yesterday. It's $1 million base salary, $550,000 guaranteed. If he plays, he can make up to, you know, $6.5 million, but they can cut him before the start of the season and it costs him nothing. So
yeah, but that's still the language of that contract makes me think that Cam Newton takes that based on the belief that he's going to start for this team.
And again, I related to the Ryan Tannehill deal a year ago, same exact contract. And Mariota did start, if you remember, and then Tannehill came along. Hey, if Stidham wins, I still think they're wins the battle. I think they're a good team, but I think there's a use for Cam Newton on this team, even if he's not the starter. Like we don't see it often, right? Two quarterbacks playing in the NFL, that type of system. But maybe this is the year with only two preseason games and less practices, no joint practices. Maybe you could see it this year.
Well, I'll tell you this: is that they're going to run the Florida scheme where they just every other play bring a kid in. That's what I've been.
Cam would be familiar with that.
That would be absolutely true. All right, so we'll be back in just a moment. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone today?
Oh, it's just a day after day of delight.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. 617-779-0985. Someone claiming on the phone, but they're gone, that Threat Level Midnight, the worst episode of The Office.
Oh,
the
no.
One where Michael makes his movie.
No.
I'm not a big fan of that episode.
I don't hate it, but I think there's enough in there to keep it far. No way is it the worst episode. You're counting like all the late season or the late run of the show stuff?
You can't count. No. You can't count the late seasons. I mean, the late seasons were, except for when Dwight is Fushnickel, the guy that comes in, that's actually real. That's like a real thing.
Oh,
are you impish or are you? Oh, it's a real thing. Yeah. Are you impish or are you? Oh, I forget the thing.
Admirable.
But you were impish or you admirable.
Right.
I didn't like the episode when the warehouse guys won the lottery. I don't know if you remember that one. Like, they won the lottery and they, like, had to find, like, new employees. That was early on, right? I think it might have been season 3 or 4.
In the beginning of the show, like, the guys in the warehouse were such dicks to Michael.
Yeah.
And I think they kind of missed the mark because Michael came off sympathetic in those cases. But, yes, they made fun of his penis size. They did lots of things that were not good. All right. Rob Manfred is Rod Manfred. Bob Manfred says he's talking about how baseball, the Major League Baseball, which starts very soon, how they are going to deal with the big old COVID.
As with any set of rules, the most important thing is self-policing. I think the players understand that these protocols are necessary to keep them safe and keep the game going. We are going to be constantly and closely monitoring adherence to the protocols.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, a pitcher licking his hand is hysterical to me. Because first of all, good luck. They've been licking their hands since they were 5 years old. And second of all, if I lick my fingers, throw a ball, it gets put in play. It's a ground ball to shortstop who throws to first. Now, and back to the pitcher. Now, am I, that's what you're afraid of? that's going to cause COVID? Because if that's the thing that causes COVID, everyone's getting it. Everyone's getting it. If like a little bit of saliva, like a tiny bit of saliva, it causes it, then they're all going to get it.
Yeah, two things. With Major League Baseball, they're arguing over some of this stuff. Do you see them like really enforcing that once a game
you
is
can't.
Played? If you get yourself out of the first couple innings of the first game, the umpires are going to forget to watch for it. They're not going to be paying attention. And it's just, don't even bother arguing about it now. That's one of those things where you just nod your head and say, okay, gotcha, no spitting and no licking of your fingers, got it. And then it's going to end up happening anyway. And I also think, like, baseball, if they do manage to start playing games, they're doing the rest of sports a real disservice by, like, harping on and paying so much attention to stuff like this. Like, what's going to happen with the NFL? Or what's going to happen if they're back and playing before basketball and hockey are back? Like, you don't think that there's more exchange of bodily fluids throughout the course of a basketball game or a hockey game? Or, I mean, football takes it to a whole nother level.
Or just being close to someone and transmitting it through your breath.
Exactly.
I mean, you're close to people. You're next to people. The idea that, again, the idea that if I lick my hand and throw a baseball 90 miles an hour, that's somehow going to spread the COVID. Well, then just strap in because everyone's getting it.
Right.
If that's the case. And if I spit, you know, 4 feet away from someone, I don't understand either how that's going to. They're not going to be able to stop it. These guys have been doing the same thing over and over and over again for their whole careers. I mean, can you imagine you have to be so focused to hit. Can you imagine sitting there and having to worry about spitting? Like,
no.
You're sitting there in the batter's box, and you're standing there in the batter's box, and then all of a sudden you go like, and you start to go to spit, and you're like, wait a second, I can't spit. Then it entirely engulfs your mind.
Yeah.
I'm a pitcher. I can't lick my fingers. And then so the entire time you're thinking about how you can't lick your fingers.
Yeah. Any time spent worrying about it now is wasted time. And any effort used on the part of the players union or anyone arguing on behalf of the teams themselves to try and like get this rule either changed or eliminated, you're giving up valuable negotiating leverage on something else because they're not going to enforce it. Just ignore it. Ignore it. And if they make a big deal about it in the first couple of games, do as best you can to follow it, and after that, it's going to be forgotten.
All right. Manfred also talks about the rumors that, hey, a bunch of owners didn't want the season to happen at all.
The vast, vast majority of our owners wanted to play. And I think from the perspective of the owners, they're making an investment, you know, in terms of additional losses in order to get the game back on the field, because we feel it's important to have the game back on the field. We owe it to our fans.
Yeah, I mean, very philanthropic. Thank you for playing the game. I can only imagine if you didn't, what would have happened to the owners. They're taking a huge loss. Just for the love of the American people, to have the national pastime out there. I mean,
as many as a third of them were willing to just scrap the entire season, not give that. No, the majority of them absolutely wanted to put these games on to give people something to watch. What if there's like 10, 12 teams? So what? Who cares?
Yeah, that's the thing is that they, if you know someone's doing something out of the goodness of their heart when they negotiate for months and months and have these intense negotiations, you know that the owners were going, hey, guys, come on. We owe it to the people, our good fans, the people of America. This is the spirit, baby.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Needless to say, your non-spit, your non-saliva baseball coming very soon. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. I will tell you what, Family Matters still on TV. Every day that I broadcast from home, I am fascinated by someone putting that in syndication. That show did well enough to be put in syndication.
Well, I think it used to be on TGIF.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a kid.
Yeah. Have you seen Step by Step?
Oh, yeah. Cody and Suzanne Cody Summers.
Is Cody the most annoying character of all time?
One of them, yeah. I mean, that was
just... He's from Wisconsin. He talks like a stoner, but he doesn't have sex or do drugs.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. It douche chills up my spine every time I see him. You fan of Step by Step, Hardy?
No, and I never watch Family Matters. I was just looking at when that started, and since I am a few years older than you, Fred, we part company on some of these shows because that thing debuted when I was a senior in high school. So
it was in syndication. I mean, I didn't watch it when it was on TV. I watched it in syndication.
So you watched it as a grown person.
Yeah. When I was doing nights, I watched every episode of Brotherly Love, which was the vehicle for the Lawrence brothers, all three of them. That was on the Disney Channel. So that was a short run, though. They didn't give them enough of a chance to find their footing. I saw every episode of Boy Meets World.
Mm-hmm. Good one.
Except for the early ones, I don't like it. And you know what's frustrating about Boy Meets World is that they act like Topanga has been together with Corey his entire life. But if you watch the first couple seasons, they're not together. So it's revisionist history. Apparently, they started dating like in elementary school, but that is not the case at all.
I got a growing pains feel watching Boy Meets World sometimes. With like Sean was kind of like the Leo, you know, the character, I guess, on Growing Pains. Kind of similar.
All right. You know, I own a Growing Pains DVD set. The first season.
How many TV shows do you own on DVD?
I own, what was the show on HBO where he would flashback to old TV? Dream On.
Dream On. I love Dream On. That was great.
Dream On. That's a, Dream On. I'm the only one in the world that has that.
Did you get a 2-for-1 with Dream On and all episodes of Not Necessarily the News? Did you get that?
Not necessarily. No, was Not Necessarily the News a U.S. program, or was that imported from Canada?
I thought it was U.S., and I just remember Sniglets, which were made-up words that...
Rich Hall.
Rich Hall. Talk about tickling your funny bone.
Those owned a Sniglets book.
Yeah, who didn't?
Yeah, I mean, I have Undeclared. An Apatow, a show that played after Freaks and Geeks. Oh, don't worry about it. I got it all. Someone gave me every Aqua Teen Hunger Force that worked at Turner. I got it all, baby.
Yeah, you know what? Now, come to think of it, I've probably got a lot of them, too. I don't even know where a lot of my DVDs are right now. I think a lot of them are in a box in a closet. But we used to get them when we were working at radio stations in the 90s. That was like one of the giveaways, and some of those would inevitably end up in the DJ's hands. So I got some of that stuff. I think I have Beavis and Butthead, and I think I've got a bunch of stuff that, you know, we were using for giveaways.
Making a return, Beavis and Butthead.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not overly excited about that.
Well, really?
The first time it returned, I was kind of, like, excited at the notion of it. But to me, the funniest parts of Beavis and Butthead were just them sitting there watching videos and goofing on the music videos.
Right.
there aren't really music videos anymore. Not like, not that everybody could look at and say, oh yeah, I've seen that video, so you can relate to what they're goofing on. So without that element of it, I don't know.
They're going to do like viral videos and stuff on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Apparently.
I like the principal and the gym coach, you know, that kind of got on them every once in a while.
The hippie.
Or the next door neighbor. What in the hell? You know?
I guess he's a big Trump guy in the new ones.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a big Trump guy. That's playing with the new ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so we'll have the Bankroll Boys. Mr. Murray, there has been some movement, is there not?
Oh, there has been line movement when it comes to the Patriots. We can do that now or at 7 o'clock, whatever works for you. But we can do it. Cam Newton has moved the needle in Vegas a little bit.
Now, Rich is down to nothing in his bankroll, so I'll have to make a bet for him that he'll have to pay off.
Yeah, and I hope Lifshatz has something good, because the only thing I have is the July 4th tradition, unlike any other, the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest.
Is that even worth gambling on? Because
every year, dude. That's what we bet on, that thing every year.
Okay, because it seems like Chestnut would just, and the odds would be dramatically in his favor.
This year especially. But the big one is the total, you know? Is he going to eat 73 hot dogs or not?
How long is it?
I don't know how long. Was it timed? I don't even remember.
I think it's 10 minutes.
Oh, it's 10 minutes. It's 10 minutes. You're right.
73 hot dogs in 10 minutes. Yeah. All right.
I think that could be done.
They should watch you for like the rest of the day to make sure that you don't throw up. That should be one of the rules.
Well, it is one of the rules that you have to keep it down for like a certain amount of time, but I think it's only like a minute or two. I mean,
I read about this thing that was at like the Javits Center, which was who could eat like the hottest, the most like of these like boiling California Reaper wings, and afterwards they just go to the bathroom and throw it all up. So you should have to follow the guy around and make sure that he has to digest all of it.
Yes.
Because then it's really nothing. It's like the guy who ate the tacos, the guy that was trying to do it for charity, the sports guy that ate the tacos and went about it all wrong. He ate them. He took too much time. He savored them. When everyone knows when you're doing a food contest, you have to shove it all down your throat before your body tells you that you're full. Did you know that?
No. Is that the strategy you should use?
Have you ever watched Man vs. Food?
Yeah.
Have you seen the new one with the guy is so funny with the red hair?
Oh, no, but I met that dude at the Super Bowl in Minneapolis.
Now, was he on the air with you?
Yes, when I was doing the stuff with the Patriots on the Not Done Network, he came on with us, and he brought in a couple of people who are like restaurant proprietors of, you know, like restaurants there at the Mall of America, and he kind of hosted them. And boy, was he a good time.
Now, did he even eat?
I don't remember if...
Because when they don't eat, it's just eat, stupid. Eat, fatso. Shove the food down your face. Like, Adam Richman, the first guy, went to, like, Yale Drama and was like, I'm getting away from this. Like, I'm just going to host the show and have other people eat. And you're like, not so fast. You eat. You shove it down your throat, pig boy. This new... Oh. Yeah, you win these contests. Come on.
What's that guy's name?
Corey? Is it Corey something? I don't know.
All I know is that we met him and we had to do a segment with him, and it was, you know, something for Patriots.com, and we were only taking like two-minute breaks an hour. So, and they're like, bring this guy on and keep him for as long as you want. I'm like, cool, I can do that. We have a guest. You know, we're going to talk about something other than a game that won't be played for, you know, four more days, and we've already talked about it for a couple of days. Great. And after he was on for about 2 minutes, I said, wow, we're already done with him. We were done talking to him after two minutes.
Is it Casey Webb?
Casey Webb, yes. And he's the worst.
Whoa.
But at least he didn't waste his education at Yale Drama School so he could go eat like a pig. All right, no commercials here, just the headlines. When we come back, we'll have the Bankroll Boys.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Bengal Awards.
Did that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
And the Oven.
Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash in the Chef.
We're Toucher and Rich, Bankroll Boys, are brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings has thousands of dollars up for grabs this weekend. Download DraftKings now. Use promo code SportsHub during sign-up and play for a chance to win the big prize. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz, they have the Over Under 98.5 podcast, plus they have their own show on Saturday mornings. It is an exciting time to be alive because the Patriots have Cam Newton, and that means line movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And see, Dan's like, meh. But it did move from 8.5 to 9, and then this morning it's back to 8.5, Dan.
So here's how I kind of view it, guys. When Brady signed and left for Tampa, right, the lines were set then. The Pats' win total was 9. Their odds to win the division were, I think, minus 110, the plus 110 in that range, and their Super Bowl odds were about 20-1. That was when Brady signed. You assumed that either Stidham or Hoyer was going to be the starting quarterback. Then, obviously, money came in against them, and everyone thinks the Patriots are going to suck because they don't have Brady, and...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.